Good morning. This is Sunday, June 9th, about 11:48 a.m. And today's talk is on the principle of immortality revealed. Do you know immortality? Do you know the immortality of God? Do you know your immortality? Do you know that there is a part of you, the greater part, which is invisible, immortal, and eternal? Do you know your own immortality? The reason why I ask is because I've been looking at this book by Joel called The Altitude of Prayer, and this book I first received maybe 40 years ago or more, and at the time I believe I wasn't quite ready for it. I needed really to be sticking with practicing the presence and the art of meditation, and perhaps living the infinite way. But this book has some very deep moments in it. Or, it's changed over the years since I last opened it. Well, one thing for sure, my consciousness has changed, and I see things in it that I never saw before. Deep, deep things. Deep principles. And there is a chapter here, chapter 4, which is called This is Immortality. And in it is revealed the necessity, the absolute necessity, for you to find your own immortality right here and right now. And this chapter begins like this. It says, life, real life, is lived in consciousness. It is lived in the secret place within ourselves. Now, this is assuming many things in this first sentence. It's assuming that you have found your inner self. It assumes that you've found this thing called consciousness, the secret place of the Most High, and that you have found a way to dwell there and live there and live and move and have your being there, even while right here on earth. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Christ, whom thou hast sent. Why is it life eternal if you know the true God and Christ, the emanation of that God? Why is that life eternal? How does knowing God and the Christ of God translate into eternal life for you? Do you know? Do you have the answer? Oh, no, not an intellectual reply. No. I mean, are you living that life eternal? Have you gone within and discovered the God referred to? Have you discovered the Christ referred to? And have you discovered your own eternal life? If you have, then I guess you're just listening to this because it's nice to hear someone that also knows. If you haven't, well, Joel has a word for you. And he starts by saying, "We have circumscribed life by giving our attention to the baubles of life, to our work, our profession, our home, our family." So right here he calls home and family and work baubles, trinkets, toys, really. He gets to the point two paragraphs later when he says, "The human life we are living is nothing but a dream." And so the answer to the question is, why should we know God aright? And why is that life eternal? The answer to that question is because when we know God aright, we find our own immortality. We find our own immortal life. And this human life, this dream, this series of mental images passing in time, appearing as a human life, this, we begin to see, is a dream. And we begin to see through it to the underlying immortality, the underlying immortal life that we are. On the next page, he says, "The purpose of life on earth is to bring forth God's life, His image and likeness, His nature, His character, His qualities, and His quantities." Yes, the purpose of life is to go within, find that immortality, recognize, realize God, Christ, immortal self, and then bear witness as it expresses itself. This then is not a human life, is it? This then is the Son of God appearing. This then is Christ made manifest. And just to bring the idea home, on the next page, Joel says, "Some of the first fruits of prayer are health, a greater sense of abundance, happier human relationships. But these are not the end and aim of prayer." What is the end and aim of prayer? And remember now, we have learned together, prayer is not what you say, not what the human thinks, not any truth known in the mind. Prayer is that which is uttered within our consciousness, that which the Spirit speaks. That's prayer. What God speaks manifests. And so, in that light, he is saying, some of the first fruits of hearing that voice are health, abundance, and happier human relationships. But these are not the end and aim of listening to that voice. The end and aim of prayer is that we discover our eternal life, the life that was lived before birth, the life that will be lived after the grave. We can encompass right here on earth the totality of spiritual existence, a divine and immortal existence. And so you see, we come to the infinite way and we have a problem of some sort and we learn that we can pray aright. And this, that when God speaks, the problem dissolves, the earth melts, the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands, and wow, we have a decent income, maybe for the first time ever. Hey, these human relationships are harmonious, and I'm not working on them. Wow, my health improved. We think we've found the land of milk and honey, but we're still living as human beings. And something happens. And it pushes us and pushes us. We come to see, finally, that those are the added things. The real aim and end of prayer is that we discover our immortal life, that we discover God, the only true God, and Christ, the manifestation of God, which is our immortality. And so you must have an experience of a life before birth. And you must have an experience of a life after the grave. Right here on earth, he says. Right here, right now, in your meditation, and sometimes with eyes open, you must experience an immortal self that lives now before Abraham. Now. That lives now after the end of the world. Right now. Before birth and after the grave, there is a life, an immortal life, and you must find this life within you. That's the real aim of prayer and meditation. So he says, there is a you that I have met within myself. There is a you that I love to be with. This is the you that God made in his own image and likeness, a you that existed before you were born. So says Joel, he knows how to go within and live with this immortal self, which he has discovered is the self of him, and also the self of you, and the self of you, and the self of you. The one immortal self. How many gods are there? One. How many Christs? There is one. One God, one manifestation. So how many sons? One son. So how many lives? One life. How many immortalities? One immortality. One immortal self. If you discover within you that one immortal self, yourself, you must know it's also myself, and Joel's self, and Herb's self, and Jesus' self. It is the one self of all. This is life eternal, to know your one self. But it must be an experience. It must be an inner experience, not a mental ideal, not a mental idea, not a mental concept, not a mental thought, not of the mind. It must be an experience, an inner experience of the soul. When your soul is receptive, spirit itself manifests. And we call that Christ, the expression of God. And this is life eternal, that you may know God and that Christ as your eternal immortal self, as the immortal self of all. And Joel tells you what it's like to experience it. He shares his experience, because on the next page he says, having been lifted up to the point where my Heavenly Father could impart truth to me, I then beheld you as you are. Because I first beheld myself, I saw myself in the image and likeness of God. I saw myself as spiritual being existing before my birth, and still alive after my death, still living after my death. Because I saw that, I saw your identity. It was only then that I began to love people. Before that, what was he loving? Let's go back and look. It's important that you swallow this. The human life we live is nothing but a dream. Our home, our family, are baubles. It was only after being lifted up and beholding immortality that I began to love people, or the immortal appearing as people. There are many people in my life that tell me, that speak those words, "I love you." And sometimes it occurs to me they don't. They don't even know me. Here I am, immortal self in the secret place of the Most High. I am me, and I am thee. Ah, but when someone in this consciousness speaks those words, "I love you," with the recognition of that immortal self at the center of all being, then I am lifted up. I am lifted up because if I am lifted up through recognition, and I look at you that way, I draw you onto me, onto the same place where I am. And that is why when someone is looking at me that way, and they may not even speak a word, but in their presence, I feel lifted up. I'm sure you have met people that way. I never had the joy of being in Joel's presence on Earth. Well, it's possible we passed, because he lived in San Gabriel when I was a small child, so it's possible we passed on the street, or he nodded to me in the grocery store or smiled at me. That's entirely possible, but I have no recollection of it. So for all intents and purposes, I've never been in his presence on Earth. I've been in his presence on the inner planes, but not here on Earth. But there are those. I was in Herb's presence in that Avila Beach seminar, and wow, was I lifted up. And the experience I've shared over and over. I definitely felt the one immortal self, in me, in thee, in all. And there are others, you just love to be in their presence, don't you? There's a man named Alan Marsh, and last I checked, he was in New Mexico, and we did a class together, and being in his presence is wonderful. You just feel lifted up. And I observed everybody and their relationship to him. And I even had a couple of people tell me that he was their special friend. And so the feeling around him was one of being accepted and loved, because he recognizes the Christ of them. I know he does, because I've talked with them. And so in some people's presence, you just feel lifted up. And that's because they are recognizing the Christ. They are recognizing God. They are recognizing the one immortal self. They're not being fooled by the dream. They're not seeing you as a human being. Why do you think we're told over and over and over throughout the books that one of the most important principles is impersonalization? Because when you impersonalize, and you look at the person and you say, well, this evil is no part of them. These are mental images projected by world thought. And when you look at that same person and say, this love, this wisdom pouring out of them, this is not of them. This is that one divine self. When you do that, when you impersonalize them, you lift them out of personal sense. You lift them up into immortality, even if it's only them feeling, I don't know why I feel so good in your presence. You're still lifting them up. and one day they will catch it too. And so says Joel, that part of me which is visible was born into the belief of two powers, will pass out of it, and will reincarnate. Unless, and this is a big unless, so I circled it in my book, unless during this lifetime, here on Earth, I come into the realization of my true identity, then I will not have to reincarnate. I'll read it again because it's very important, and that's why we started off this talk. Why is it important to know your immortality? To experience it, not believe in it. You may believe in immortality and have no experience of it at all. You must experience it. That's why Joel is always talking about the experience, capital E, experience. If you will contemplate, if you will add that to being with others on the spiritual path and add in meditation, then you will have the experience. And that's what he always says, leading to the experience, coming to the experience, the Christ experience, the God experience, experiencing immortality here and now. It's important because then you will not have to reincarnate. And so again, listen. That part of me which is visible was born into the belief of two powers, two selves, two lives. That self will pass out of it and will reincarnate, unless during this lifetime I come into the realization of my true identity, of my immortality. Then I will not have to reincarnate. That make-believe life, the dream, will keep on making believe over and over again until there is a dying daily, leading to the final death of personal sense. You see? And this is life eternal, that we might die to this personal sense and come into a feeling of our own immortal self. And then he spells it out. He says, someday, each one of you will have to realize what I'm saying to you. I am I. I am that I am. I always have been, and I always will be. You see that? We're here on Earth not for all these baubles. We're not here to improve our work lives. We're not here to improve our home lives or even our family lives. We're not here to improve our health, our wealth. Those are things that just come as we give up seeking for them. We are here to delve deep down within us and have the inner realization of immortal self. We are here to know through experience, resting in the secret place of God, resting in the secret place where Christ is manifesting. We are here to rest in the secret place of immortal self, to feel it, to observe it, to behold it, to bear witness to it as it manifests itself. This is life eternal. When you know that self as an experience, you no longer have to reincarnate. There is no break in consciousness. You no longer have the experience of dying to a personal life and having a sort of amnesia, being born again to a brand new personal life, and not remembering anything that ever came before, and going through another personal life and coming to the bitter end and crying as you leave behind your loved ones and passing out of this picture and being cleaned up and being born again into another life and not remembering those lives and thinking it's brand new and fresh and having the motivation to amass some large amount of money and succeeding in that and coming to see that it amounts to nothing. You see how fruitless that is? That thing called reincarnation. Buddha called it the wheel, because you're going round and round and round. You're not getting anywhere. It's the cycle, the wheel of life, he called it. And we want to get off that wheel. And we get off that wheel, well, this is life eternal, to know thee, the one immortal self, yourself. To have that inner experience of that self, and to see that it is the self of all. Then you step off the wheel. You come right off that wheel. Now there's no break in consciousness. You may take a form after that. You may still appear here on earth, but it is because you have a mission like Joel had, to awaken, to help serve mankind, to help serve all those who still think that they're persons and people, to help lift all into the one self that they are, that I am. But there won't be any break in consciousness. You'll remember what you were before. You'll remember what, you'll know what you are now. And you'll remember what you are yet to be, the one immortal self. You will know your eternal self from before Abraham. You will know it even after the end of this world. This is life eternal. So says Joel. Dying doesn't ensure your immortality. No, he says elsewhere, immortality is not this human sense of life going on and returning again and again. Immortality is something else, something different, he says in the Kalua study series. Here he says, immortality is an activity of truth in your consciousness and can be experienced while you are on earth. So the goal of prayer, remember the name of this book is The Altitude of Prayer. The goal of prayer is to experience your own immortality. And that's why we started with the question, have you experienced your own immortality, your own immortal self? If you haven't, I suggest you, well, he has a suggestion here, doesn't he? Yes, right here. He says, do not wait for immortality to come at some later time. If you are not experiencing it now, then retire into a meditation in which you realize the omnipresence of the life of God as your life. He means really look at the omnipresence of God. See it, feel it as behind you, as the life that is you. And if you do not succeed today or tonight, keep practicing. He says, continue doing this, whether it takes a day, a week, a month, or a year. Continue until the still small voice within you says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for I am come that you might have life eternal. Then you will be living your immortality, or immortality will be living you. And so, if you haven't experienced this yet, the suggestion is to continue to meditate. Ask, Father, lift me up. Let me feel my own immortal self, the self that you gave me before the world was. See, that's what Christ Jesus was saying. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. So, if he can ask, why can't you? You can. Lift me up, Father. Reveal immortal self. The one immortal self. Joel's always telling us over and over, you must close your eyes and you must say, I don't know what God is. God, reveal yourself. That's the same thing as saying, God, reveal myself, or God, reveal the self, the one self, immortal self. And he says, you must persist in this. Even if it takes a day, a week, a month, or a year, or in some cases, several years. I know some of you have been studying for several years, and until you came to the Kahlua Study Series, it had become a mental exercise. And hopefully now you've all learned to stand still and listen. Stand still and be receptivity. Stand still and bear witness. Stand still and behold, I reveal your immortal self. For I am that self. Hopefully we've learned to do that in the Kahlua Study Series. And now we're ready, if it takes a day, a week, a month, or a year, or several, to wait upon the Lord. You must have this inner spiritual experience. And through the inner Christ of you, through knowing God as the Christ of you, be lifted up into spiritually discerning the one immortal self. This then is life eternal, when you know the self. And it puts an end to a break in consciousness. It puts an end to reincarnation. It puts an end to a personal sense of self as the only self, and reveals that there is behind you your own infinite eternal immortality. Joel says, we do not deny the fact that eventually there is a transition from the human plane. No, we don't deny that. But why not begin to understand it, he says, as merely a change of locale, a change from one state of form of life to another? Yes. Why not? Why not understand that? And, says he, always under the government of God. Neither life nor death can separate us from the government of God, from the love, the care, and the life of God. Once we have that awareness as an experience, death then has no sting. And when the sting is gone out of death, death itself becomes impossible. Do you not see that this is life eternal? To know thee, the true God, and Christ, the manifestation, the one immortal self? This is life eternal because it takes the sting out of death. When you're not standing in a personal sense of self, when you're standing in an immortal sense of self, or a sense of immortal self, then you see there's no break in consciousness, there's no death ever again. I laid down this body that I may pick it up again. I laid down this personal sense of self that I may pick it up again. I now am I. And I walk out and I walk in freely. If I have a mission, I walk in. And when I am done, I walk out. You see, you're free from the law, from the wheel of life, from karma. If there's no human to sow, if there's only spirit, then you can only reap life everlasting. It's right there in the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal. And you do if you put those scriptures to work. So, says Joel, someday you will have an experience, an inner experience, and learn that you are I. That yourself cannot be confined in time or in space, but that you exist beyond time and beyond space. This is the experience that I had in Avila Beach. Then, he says, you will know the secret of pre-existence. You will know that before Abraham was, I am. And that is immortality. That's his chapter called This is Immortality. Those are excerpts from this chapter. And you know now why he is always saying that you must practice that exercise, his famous exercise where you look down at your feet and you ask yourself, am I in these feet? Or are these feet mine? And that you take your time with it and move slowly. No, I'm not in these feet. These feet are mine. I can use them to stand. I can kick. I can jump. I can walk. I can run. I can skip. I can do leg bends. I can swim. What about these ankles? Are they mine? Or am I in them? What about these legs? Am I in them? You see? You move on up until you've completed your search throughout the body. And eventually, he says, you come to the realization that I am not in this body. This body is mine. This body is an instrument for my use here on Earth. Okay? What he's trying to do is give you the inner experience of your immortal self. And some people can practice that exercise until they come to the conclusion, I am not in this body. And then they can stand still, and there will be an inner movement, an inner shift, an inner feeling, a still small voice, an inner realization that I am I. And that's why he suggests that exercise, because it worked for him. Now, it doesn't matter what exercise you use. It doesn't matter if you don't even use any words. Although sometimes words in the beginning of our meditation can help us escape those words and come to a place of stillness. Come to the secret place of the Most High. And if that works, do that. But someday, he says, you must have the experience of your own immortal I, your immortal self, the one self. Now, you may have experienced this self in the past. I know many people who have had one experience. Sometimes they weren't even trying for it, it just happened. And they call that a spiritual experience, and they can't really say why it happened. But they never have that experience again. Does that mean that that person who lives out their entire life as a human being, because they've had that one experience, will not reincarnate? No. No, it doesn't, because they have not experienced a change of consciousness. The transformation must start with that experience. But that experience must come again and again. Remember from Joel's writings where he says, I myself have witnessed the immortality, the incorporeal self, thousands and thousands of times. Now, that means he's had thousands of meditations in which he's experienced that self. And I submit to you, if you really delve into his writings, he never healed a person, ever. Anybody that turned to him, he dismissed it, knowing it to be a universal belief in two. He dropped it. And then he went within, and he dropped a human sense of self, until there was only the one immortal self. And in that self he rested. He rested as if on a sea of spirit. He felt it, he said, as clouds behind his shoulders. I feel it as a movement. But the point is, he rested. Thousands of times he did that, recognizing the only true God and Christ, the one immortal self. And in resting there, the person called back and said, "Thank you, I've been healed." And he had no idea how they were healed. He admits it freely. He did not know how to heal. He did and does, however, know how to rest back in that presence. And our training all through these years has been to lead us to the same secret place of the Most High. And I hope that each of you sees the necessity to attain that consciousness or that mind which was also in Christ Jesus, so that you become Christ Barbara, or you become Christ Peter, or you become Christ Paul, or you become Christ Mary, or you become Christ Robin. And you do that when your consciousness becomes the living awareness of the one immortal self almost continuously, with eyes closed or with eyes open. Then, as a continuing consciousness, as a continuing awareness, you will not reincarnate. And if you ever come back, it'll be to help lift the rest of us. And for that I say thank you. All right. I'm going to be still for a moment and rest back in that immortal self, without words or without thoughts. Just I. And this is life eternal, that they might know me, the only true God within, and Christ, my manifestation. Behold, I make all things new. I reveal the one immortal self. Rest. There remaineth a rest to you who know me. This is life eternal. This is immortality. This is the I. My friends, please join me in the fellowship of the Spirit. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." He means he was in the conscious awareness, feeling the one immortal self. I invite you to join us us that know how to rest back in that consciousness. We are the vanguard. We are those individuals who have come here to Earth to do this at this time. Right here and right now, we are creating the consciousness which will save all mankind. We who attain this, we who have the conscious awareness of the one immortal self, we are lifting up the consciousness of all of the entire world, so that future generations will not have to struggle as we did, but they will be born into this consciousness. It means the moment they become aware of themselves at 5 or 6 or 7, they will also be aware of the one immortal self, expressing individually as them. And then we shall see heaven and earth have become one. We shall see truly there is no death there. There is no darkness. There is no crying. There is one immortal self individualized infinitely. And this will be heaven. Heaven and earth shall be one. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new consciousness. I stand revealed, one immortal self. And the last thing I want to bring up is when you're in this consciousness, in this secret place of the Most High, in the awareness of the one immortal self, here are all those who are of like mind. Here you find your friends, such as Joel, Herb, Jesus, Shankara, Buddha. Here you find Krishna, and all those who have gone before you and have attained this consciousness are still in this consciousness. And when you dwell in it, when you rest in it, you commune with them. And should you need a message from one of them, they will contact you. You will hear them. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Remember, Joel said, to those that know this one eternal life, I will never be dead. I will always be walking among them in their consciousness. Yes, you can have direct teaching from Joel. It has happened to me. But only when I dwelt in this one immortal self. Blessings to you who sell all that you have, your entire personal sense of self, all of the baubles of work and home and family. Sell them all. Come within, and you will find the hidden treasure, the hidden manna, the life source flowing freely. Yes, there is a river and it flows constantly, and it flows up into life everlasting, into eternal life. This is life eternal. To know thee, the only true God, and Christ, whom thou hast sent, the one incorporeal, invisible, immortal self. I am come.